This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, we are officially less than 1 month away from the NHL playoffs, and the Caps, man, they are shaking it up. The lines are changing, the goalies are changing. A little bit of everything is different as you look at the Capitals as they get ready for a Stanley Cup run. Joining me, as always, this doesn't change. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? Well, you know, I there were no buyers. What can I say? Section 328, they said, wow. No, we're good. We don't need Coach Dan.
That's cool. That's fine. I see how it is.
That wouldn't be What the Puck without Coach Dan. You got to be here.
I think so. I mean, sometimes I'm not here and you have other, you know, other people already do solo shows. But yeah, more or less, it needs to be the two of us.
Yeah, you're the big traveler. I used to be a big traveler. I don't do that as much anymore. But you know what?
That's true. I'm all over the place. Yeah.
The Capitals are coming back from a little West Coast road trip, and they're making some history on this road trip when they went to L.A. and they went to San Jose since we talked last. And San Jose, they won in regulation for the first time since, what, 1993, 25 years ago? That's insane.
I don't know which is more insane, the fact that they haven't won in San Jose in regulation since 93 or that 93 was that long ago. I'm not sure which of those concerns me more.
Was OJ still a good guy in 93? I think he was a good guy.
Yeah, because I was in middle school when I think that all went down.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the world has changed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about that. The last time the Caps won in San Jose, podcasting and you and I talking like this could not have happened, would not exist.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, that's also true like 10 years ago. But still, 25 years ago, insane that they were able to do that, win in regulation in San Jose for the first time in 25 years. Now, let me ask you. The Caps are on a little bit of a win streak right now. They've got, well, they've won two in a row. Woo-hoo.
Yeah!
Is it because of who was in net? Philip Grubauer has taken the reins. Braden Holtby has taken a step back. He is the backup right now for the Capitals. Are the Caps winning right now because Philip Grubauer is in net?
Yes and no. I think the team plays better. They're playing better at the moment with him in net. I think that it's... I don't know if... And that's not necessarily the case, though I suppose there's some possibility to it. But the fact that when you put in a backup goalie or a goalie who's not quite as good, I feel like as a defensive player or players in general, you... Not that you try a little harder, but maybe you do a little bit more defensively because you know you have to, right? Whereas if you have a goalie like a Braden Holtby, and you know, when he was playing better... like a Henrik Lundqvist, like a Carey Price, you're like, well, okay, if I make a mistake, I'm not going to freak out quite as much because I know that he's going to go and he's going to make a great save. So I don't know if it's the players necessarily just playing harder for Grubauer or because of Grubauer, I should say. But I think he's been playing incredibly well, and I think Grubauer's been playing really well this season in general. And I think right now he's showing that he is a starting NHL goalie. And he can be for another team.
Well, I mean, we've talked about that for years now. I mean, the fact that he is still a Washington Capitals goalie is insane. You and I have both been huge Philip Grubauer fans, and we constantly said how this guy was trade bait. He has plenty of skill. I figured he was the guy that was going to go to Vegas when Vegas had their draft. They had their eyes set on Fleury, and that's who they got. But everybody thought Grubauer was the guy because he could be a starting goaltender for any club in the NHL. No doubt in my mind. But, I mean, you got to think about it. Heading into the playoffs, like I said, we are less than a month away from the playoffs. That was one of the keys for the Pittsburgh Penguins to win back-to-back cups. The fact that they had two great goaltenders in their lineup helped them out immensely the last 2 years in the playoffs. So really, maybe it's good that Braden Holtby is kind of taking a backseat and taking a break and can kind of recenter himself. And Philip Grubauer is getting a little bit more playing time, because now, I mean, if Holtby gets sick like he did a couple years ago, or if this happens again, the team can be a little bit less worrisome with Grubauer in net. Grubauer's going to have more playing experience. You know, maybe it's good that we have that tandem where it doesn't matter who's in goal. Things are going to go the Caps' way because they're both now, I don't know if you want to call them both seasoned veterans, but they both have a lot of experience on the NHL ice.
I mean, it helps a team for the future. Not to say, I mean, yeah, you do, sometimes you have teams that you want to have two starting goal quality players. But it's a situation where you're going to have to move on from one of these guys. I have to bring up Cap Friendly. Yeah, I should have Cap Friendly open every time we record, you know, because we're always going to go back and be like, well, what could we do with this guy in the future? I believe Grubauer is, yep, he is a restricted free agent after the season. So it looks like he's going to be likely on his way out. If you re-sign him, knowing that you need to re-sign John Carlson, and there's some talk that he may not be really pleased with the Capitals right now, so he may not be back as a possibility, you may or may not want to re-sign Jerebeck and Kempney. You got Travis Boyd, who needs a new deal. Devontae Smith-Pelly's restricted free agent. Alex Chiasson's likely gone. Jay Beagle needs a new deal, but at 32, are you willing to give him more money than he's already making, which is 1.75?
Yes.
And then Tom Wilson needs a new deal as a restricted free agent.
And so, Russian Machine has now said that he is the bacon bits of this team, Tom Wilson, that whatever line he is on, he makes that line better. So, I mean, that is...
Let's settle down a little bit.
That is a very different story about Tom Wilson than it was at the beginning of the year or the end of last year.
He's definitely come around a bit more. He's a little bit more well-rounded as a hockey player. He's not just going out there trying to hit everything that moves. You know, he's able to do a lot more. He's gotten better with puck possession. He's gotten better defensively. He's gotten better offensively. The statistics don't necessarily show it as much as you may like, but he's definitely gotten better in that regard. And so I think, I don't know about the bacon bits per se, though that's kind of make me a little hungry. But the point is that he's got the skill set. So I definitely think Wilson's coming back. I think Grubauer is dealt in the offseason. I thought it might have been at the deadline. I think he's dealt in the offseason, whether it's somewhere in the middle of the summer, if not at the draft. And they either bring that kid over from Russia or they sign a veteran guy to be the backup until the kid from Russia is ready, unless they really feel like Phoenix Copley is the guy to go with.
Yeah, I was about to say they have Phoenix, Copley, and Hershey. And what about the guy who was lighting South Carolina on fire two years ago, Vitek Vanacek? Is he still in the mix there? I honestly have not heard a lot about him this year.
I think Vanacek's, he's gone.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. He showed stuff in the ECHL. I don't know if he ever really showed, like, just outright domination in the AHL or a point where he was going to be the next guy to come up like a Varlamov, like a Neuwirth, like a Holtby, and now Grubauer. So I imagine Grubauer, they move him. I mean, he's 26. So he's not a young guy, but he's not an old guy. You know, he's coming right into the prime of his career. So you might be able to get a nice, you know, return for him in the offseason, especially since he still is under team control. Yes, another team technically can put an offer out on him to sign him to a deal as a restricted free agent the Capitals could match. But you don't see that very often in the NHL. That, you know, you see GMs are a little bit more friendly to one another than that. They don't try as much to put each other in that kind of position. So I don't expect that to necessarily be the case. But I do think Grubauer is gone in the offseason. Of course, we said that last year, and we saw how that worked out. Thanks, McPhee. But I do think that he's definitely gone this offseason with needing a new deal and the other guys they have to sign, unless they are able to move out Orpik. But I also feel like Grubauer is going to want to go. unless he's given the number one spot in DC. I mean, at 26, he knows he's coming into the prime of his career. It's also a prime opportunity for him to make money, and that's a realistic aspect of professional sports. So I do see him being moved out, whether it's by trade or if they just let him go and someone signs him to an offer sheet and they just take the compensation for it, whatever that might be in draft picks. But I do think he goes and they either sign a veteran at a cheap rate or they bring up Copley, whatever his name is, or they bring the kid over from Russia.
Interesting. We'll see what happens. Well, I mean, let me ask you this. All right, so let's say, hypothetically, that the Capitals are in the second round up against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Braden Holtby has been struggling. Grubauer steps in, maybe let's say game three, and the Caps have a comeback, and they actually get past the second round with with Grubauer in net. What would you do in that offseason? I mean, if Grubauer is
the guy that got... If Holtby's still struggling, I think you still move Grubauer because there's no way to move Holtby.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Unless another team takes it. I mean, at $6.1 million for the next two seasons, not including this one, so he's got two more after this. His deal goes through 2019-2020. I don't see how... And I don't see why another team takes a shot on Holtby if he continues to struggle. If, I mean, maybe. Maybe someone goes, hey, we can fix him. Remember that time that he won the Vezina? You know, we are able to fix him. But I don't see the Capitals moving away from Holtby. I think Grubauer is gone in the offseason, even if Holtby struggles.
All right, so coming up this week, there is a back-to-back up against the Islanders. One in Brooklyn, one in D.C. Barry Trotz.
Oh, home and home!
What's that?
A home, you know, they played a home and home.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I was messing around. Sorry, everyone. I was being silly.
No, you were all staticky in my ear, so I couldn't.
It's later. I'm tired and hungry, and I was being goofy.
Barry Trotz has said with these back-to-back games that Grubauer will be starting in net on Thursday and that Holtby will be making his triumphant return in the home ice rink of Capital One Arena on Friday. Is that the right move? I mean, Trotz has been known to do the back-to-back and never have a goaltender do back-to-back games. But with Grubauer doing well, why wouldn't you just, you know, continue to ride the hot goalie? Why bring Holtby back for that Friday game?
No, it's fine. I think you play Holtby at home, so it's a friendlier environment. Not necessarily at the Barclays Center up in Brooklyn is not.
Which no one likes to play hockey in.
No. The Islanders already want to leave. They wanted to leave before they even went there. I think it's fine. I think the fact that it's a home and home, you know, may make the second game a little bit more testy if players, you know, there's something that happened in the game on Thursday. But I think having Holtby start the game at home, it's a friendlier environment to some extent. You know, I think it's a better opportunity for him. He's had a lot of rest, so he's had a chance to sort of refocus. And you know, hopefully if the Caps can come out and win on Thursday – I wonder if that actually helps to make it better for him for Friday, or does it make it harder because the Islanders are going to want to win the game even more? Like, I don't know. You know, I mean, ideally you'd have him going up against a team of, like, you know, minor leaguers or something, but that's just not the reality of the situation. So, you know, I think it makes sense for him to start the game at home on Friday.
All right. And then the game right after that up against Philadelphia in Philadelphia. That's, I don't know, that's kind of a coin flip for me of who you put in goal at that point, because, I mean, they're doing really well in the standings. How many points do they have right now? They have 81 points. The Caps have 85, so they are right on the tail. I mean, that's almost a four-point game if you want to look at it that way with Philadelphia. I don't know if, let's see how Holtby does on Friday, but, I mean, it may be a quick return and then a quick exit again, and Grubauer may be coming back in Philadelphia. What do you think?
I think it depends on who does better in terms of the Thursday, Friday in the home and home. If Holtby comes back and he's looking anything like he used to look, then I think you play him. If Grubauer plays well and Holtby still struggles, then I think you go with Grubauer. I think whichever guy plays better in the home and home, I think it starts the game in Philly.
All right. Well, Barry Trotz also mixing some things up as well this week in practice. He put TJ Oshie back on a line, at least in practice, with Nick Backstrom and Andrei Burakovsky. He He's got two Swedes and the U.S. guy on the same line. Now, Oshie has been struggling immensely this season.
He's snake bit. Like, struggling, yes and no, but it's not necessarily his fault. Like, he's played well. He's just got no freaking luck.
Yeah, he's hit the crossbar how many times? It's you know what it is? It's because they're giving away his bobblehead next week, and this bobblehead is in him in a celebration pose. So I think that's what it is.
It's the jersey that he's in the bobblehead.
He does look slick in that jersey.
No, he really does not.
But that's a line that's kind of reminiscent of last year's playoffs. They found a lot of success in last year's playoffs. So, I don't know. What do you think? I think this is a good move to have Oshie back with Backstrom and Andre Burakovsky. Anytime you get to play with Nick Backstrom, I got to assume that makes you a better hockey player.
I'm curious as to why he made the change now.
Why is that?
Like, I don't know why he did it. You tell me. No, I'm just kidding. I think that it was an interesting choice. They didn't play great on the Western road swing. I mean, they lost in LA. They were able to win in San Jose, and they got that OT win over Winnipeg. But yeah, I guess it makes sense because they've been struggling a little bit in terms of being able to hang around in games. And, you know, they came out with the San Jose game was actually quite good. The Winnipeg game had its moments. They played very well, but they let them back in the game and they had to go into overtime. So I guess it is the right time to make that change. Or make some changes since he works. I hate seeing Ovechkin and Backstrom split up because they're just so good together, but it's not like Kuznetsov's not going to be good with him as well. And I think if you want to give Oshie an opportunity to get a bit of a jump start going into what is like, hopefully and likely will be the playoffs, that putting Backstrom on there is a good idea. But I wonder how much Burakovsky will either help or hinder. He's another one that's been kind of frustrating a lot of people.
He has been, but his game has definitely picked up since he's had his time up in the press box earlier this year. But Burakovsky and Backstrom, they play really well together. I'm willing to try anything to get Oshie's game back on track. I mean, if you're having a setup guy like Backstrom be your center, I mean, the goals are going to have to come flowing in for Oshie, I would assume. I mean, Backstrom is just so good. And this is good for Burakovsky. He's got two guys to work with on this line that are extremely skilled. We saw what he can do with Connolly and Eller, who, I mean, Eller's one of the reasons why that game against Winnipeg was so close. What a really bad breakdown he had. So, I mean, getting him away from Eller, I think, is probably a good thing for at least a little bit. But look at those first two lines. You got Ovi, Kuzi, Wilson, and you have Burakovsky, Backstrom, and Oshie. On paper, those two lines should just be killer lines and should be doing absolutely fantastic on the ice. We'll see come Thursday, but I like those two lines. They should be producing a lot more than they are right now.
I agree with that. I do. You know, the lines as they are on paper should be quite good. Even the third line of Vrana, Eller, and Connolly should be producing. They certainly have had the puck possession opportunities to score it. So it's, you know, the fourth line is just sort of an energy line with Beagle. I actually really like what I'm seeing from Chandler Stephenson and Devontae Smith-Pelly has been good. So, you know, you want to see more offensive production across the board outside of the top line or the top four or five guys. It'd be nice to see a little bit more from Vrana, a little bit more from Eller, and especially Connolly. But it's a start, and, you know, we'll see if the change works. I think having a back-to-back or a home-and-home like they're doing is definitely a way to have them start producing better, and they're just going to, you know, have an opportunity to do it quickly. And it's this late in the season that they should be more comfortable as opposed to doing it early on.
Right, and the back-to-back, I mean, look at where they're going for the weekend. So you have New York back in D.C. and then Philadelphia on Sunday. That's not a lot of travel. It is, you know, they'll probably be back home around maybe midnight, 1 o'clock on Thursday night, Friday morning, back in D.C., and then it's just a quick train ride up to Philadelphia. So, I mean, for them to be on the West Coast, kind of get the little jet lag and daylight savings time adjustment worked with, then you have a lot of different you know, East Coast game. So I think a lot of that should help really give us a good idea of what this team can do going forward, because it's not a lot of travel. They should be well rested for the next couple games.
I actually wonder – no, never mind. I was going to say I wonder if they stay out of town, but it's a home and home. So I'm stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean, they may go up to Brooklyn tonight, stay somewhere in Brooklyn, and then just play.
I'm saying between the Islanders, but they're playing the Islanders on Friday. I appreciate you trying to save me for my stupidity, but
hey, I do what I can.
I already botched it.
All right, so Barry Trotz not leaving anyone alone this week. He sent Madison Bowie down to Hershey, and there's a good chance.
That's not just him. It's McClellan, too. Trotz is meanest. He's picking on the young guys.
Well, Madison Bowie was sent down to Hershey. There's a good chance that he spends the rest of the season in Hershey. We don't know. There's a chance he could come up maybe, you know, closer to the postseason, but we'll see. But right now for defense, it's looking a little different. The two guys that were picked up at the trade deadline week-ish area, Kepney and Jarabek, those two guys now look like they're going to be in the lineup for the foreseeable future, at least. What do you think about Madison Bowie being sent down and these two guys that are kind of new to the team being the two guys they're going with going towards the postseason?
I have no problems with Bowie being sent down. I thought, you know, he played admirably at times throughout the season, but I think he was overmatched more often than not.
I mean, the way it started, he had a really bad debut game. He kind of came into his own a little bit. He hasn't been great. You know, it is kind of hard when you have.
I'm looking for great. I'm looking for, at this point, passable. And I just don't think he was at times. And I think this team is in a position where it needs someone to be playing a bit better. And they went out and acquired these two new guys. And I actually wonder, is Christian Juice going to join him in Hershey at some point? If he's not playing, there's no point in having the kid there.
Right.
You know, like at that point, you might as well send him down so he's at least playing. I do think he's a good player, and I would actually prefer to see, because it looks like, and I can't remember their numbers, but I think Jarabek is the new Alexander Semin with 28.
Yeah, he's 28.
I'd like to see him with Christian Juice as opposed to Orpik.
Well, you just don't like Brooks Orpik.
I have nothing against him as a human being. I'm sure he's a lovely fellow. I don't want him on the freaking roster because he costs too much money and he's slower than Jeff Schultz.
All right, well, let me ask you, Kepney and Jarabek, why not play Christian Juice instead of one of those guys? I mean, game to game, I mean, it could change.
Well, Kepney's playing on the top pairing, so I don't think he's coming out.
So why? All right, so let's narrow it down to Jarabek then. How come Christian Juice is not playing and Jarabek is?
I mean, because the team defensively is doing okay, I guess.
Are they?
Point. So he's like, yeah, well, you know, okay-ish. So it's passable. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
Why is he playing over Orpik?
I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of different defensive combos in the last couple weeks of the season, where we are going to see Christian Juice kind of get traded out with some of these other guys. Maybe Jarabek and Juice kind of switch roles every other game or something like that to see who really is.
That's what he looks like he's been doing, because Jarabek played on the 8th, the 10th, and the 12th. Juice played on the 3rd and the 6th, so it looks like he's, you know, rotating a bit. And unless he – if you're not going to play him, put him down in Hershey so at least he can get some minutes.
Right.
That's my thought on it.
I mean, that makes sense. It's better to be on the ice and become a better player than to sit up in the press box in a suit and tie. I mean, nobody wants that.
No, that sounds boring. I mean, I would take it because it'd be a nice free seat.
Well, yeah. I'll take a free seat too, but if I'm a player and I'm competitive, I'd want to be on the ice. But, you know, we'll see. So anything else going on in Caps world?
Well, we got two things. Congratulations are certainly in order for Captain Alex Ovechkin, as he became the fourth fastest player to 600 career NHL goals. There's the word. He did that in 990 NHL games, which is a lot. Holy crap, he's played that long. But that's still pretty impressive, so congratulations to him. He's actually trying to become the third player to ever record 850-goal seasons. He's at, I just had the stat. Where did it go? 42? So he needs 8 more goals to be able to get to 50. And the only guys who have done it more both did it 9 times, and that is Wayne Gretzky and Mike Bossy. So
he can,
that is some pretty
he can
good
do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if he doesn't get this season, he's going to get it again. I think he'll get to 9 at some point before his career ends. And it's just, it's ridiculous to know, to have that kind of player on this team.
And not have a cup.
That wasn't where I was going with. Thank you, Debbie Downer. I was trying to have a nice moment. Just the fact that we had just not only a world class, but, you know, a Hall of Fame, like once in a lifetime type of player in Alex Ovechkin.
He is one of the best in the world, cup or not. He is one of the best in the world. He is one of the best of all time. He is he's a legend. He's a living legend. And, you know, he's an attraction. If I remember just a couple years ago when the Arizona Coyotes were really, really struggling, I mean, they were doing promotions to come like, hey, look, Ovi's in town. He's probably going to beat us. But
the Caps used to do that. And the Wizards used to do that here in D.C. at one point when they were like, come check out these guys play the Capitals. And you're like, well, what?
Right.
No, advertise for your guys. What are you doing? So it's just, it's, you know, it's one of those things you look at and you go, how did that happen?
Yeah, he's absolutely one of the best ever. And it is a treat to have him kind of in my backyard, not that far away from Baltimore. And I've always been a huge hockey fan. And there were a couple years where I kind of dropped out of it. And Ovechkin's the one that brought me back in. 100% he was. It was amazing to see the passion that this guy has for the game. Wish he was a little bit nicer when you met him, but
it was fine. It's not the end of the world.
Right. But did you see on his Instagram that he went to the Hibachi Grill? And I think it was him, his brother, and his wife. And, you know, they kind of like perform with your food right in front of you on the big fire or whatever.
Well,
The chef made a giant 600 out of rice just for Ovi. It was really cool.
Yeah, I did see the picture and I thought that was pretty cool. It's just, I remember when he was drafted. I remember I was at his first NHL game.
Oh, really?
Against Columbus when he scored. Was that the game he knocked the stanchion in between the glass out? I think he hit someone so hard. And people were like, stop, leave us alone. So it's, you know, it's pretty crazy to have a guy of that kind of talent that is on your team that will go into the Hall of Fame one day in a Capitals jersey or whatever it may be.
All right, let me ask you this hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
Does he ever wear another team's jersey that's not in the KHL?
Yeah. See, I would say yes, because I think eventually he's going to slow down. But I think if it gets to a point where he's just, you know, a shell of himself, I think a team that's rebuilding might bring him in to sell tickets. So I think it's possible. But I also kind of feel like if it gets to that point in his career, he's going to go back and play in the KHL.
That's what I think, too. I think
because he'll just be more comfortable doing that.
I think he made all his NHL money with the Caps. Once his like contract's up, they can't negotiate with each other. He goes off and plays with Dynamo again because he loves his time with Dynamo.
I think he gets another – wait, how old is he? 32? 35. I think he gets maybe a 2 or 3 year deal with the Caps after his one wraps up after the 2020-2021 season.
I can see that happening.
I said 23 times, and that kind of was weird in my head, even though that technically was the years. I see him getting a 2 or 3 year deal after that. I mean, he'll be 35, something like that. So I think he gets a 2 or 3 year deal at the end of that, at the end of the deal he's in now, and then likely after that goes back to Russia. And I don't say that because it's like, oh, he's the Russian just leaving. I say that because I think he's either going to stay with the Caps or he's going to Canada. But I don't see any of those teams are necessary. Maybe like Calgary might pay for him. But I think at that point, he always said he loves to play in Toronto. He loves to play in Montreal because of the atmosphere. Unless Quebec has got a team I think he's going back to Russia because he's just going to be more comfortable there at that point.
There's a very famous picture of Ovi as a kid, and he is wearing a Buffalo Sabres jersey. So I don't know. Maybe that.
If he goes to Buffalo, I will buy an Ovechkin Sabres shirt.
A jersey.
Yeah, my dad's from Buffalo. That's fine.
There you go.
I may have to switch my allegiances to the Bills anyway, so, you know.
I already own an Ovechkin Dynamo Moscow jersey, so I'm set if he goes back to the KHL. Gotta love that lockout year. So many things happened.
Christ.
All right, anything else going on in Caps World?
Well, I am going to be out of town, I believe, but if you have the opportunity, people should head on down to the Innova Blood Drive. And if they go, not only will they believe they get a Capitals t-shirt, but they also get a bobblehead. This one being of radio play-by-play man. An Olympic play-by-play television. John Walton.
You forgot the biggest coup of his. The biggest adjective.
Oh, you're right. Walton. I apologize. He also is at one point a guest on this show.
That's right. A What the Puck alumni is getting his own bobblehead. Now that is huge news right there. I mean, it's one thing to be invited onto the show.
I don't even know if I'm going to play along with this.
But to then get a bobblehead, I mean, that's a close. What? That's a close second to being a guest on our show. I got to say. Because we don't invite just anyone. We are a very exclusive
group.
I'm not
sure you would agree with you on this.
It isn't a very exclusive group here that have been on What the Puck. We have John Walton. We have Wes Johnson. We have Adam Vingan, Ryan Drury, Ming Chen. We had Brian O'Halloran from Clerks. Very exclusive group. Very eclectic group, I must say.
Yeah, we have a weird amount of people that I've gotten on the show. We've had other friends of ours that have been on the show that are not necessarily famous in the same way as the other people.
But, sure.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool for him. I mean, it's got to be pretty cool to have a bobblehead of yourself.
Yeah, I'd be cool with it. That's almost as big of a deal as having a Funko Pop of yourself.
That's true.
Which Ming Chen has one of those. Alex Ovechkin has two of those.
Doesn't he have a... He has a giant bobblehead of himself.
Ovi does, yes.
Yeah.
And CSN, or sorry, it's not CSN anymore. NBC Sports Washington, they have a giant Ovi bobblehead that got stolen in Annapolis. But it was...
Yes, I saw that, and it got returned, right?
It was returned, so
okay.
It does end well.
Everything's okay in the world.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
All right, so TJ Oshie gets a bobblehead. John Walton gets a bobblehead. Bobbleheads all around. I love it. So is that it for Caps World?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it for this week in terms of capital stuff.
All right, I'm excited to see what happens in Caps World this week coming up because, I mean, I can't wait to see Holtby back on the ice, how he responds. I want to see how the new Oshie line responds. I want to see what it means to have Madison Bowie not be on the ice. I mean, how is the defense going to change? There's a lot of stuff up in the air as we get ready. I mean, like I said, less than a month away to the NHL playoffs starting. I mean, it's a whole new world coming up. So we'll be right there with you discussing what happens. Because, all right, before we get out of Caps World, I got to say, if the Stanley Cup playoffs were to happen today, the Caps would be up against Columbus in the first opening round matchup.
I thought we were playing the Devils.
Things have changed already because of points. I mean, things are changing. That right now, the Devils are up against Tampa Bay.
That's stupid. No, wait, Columbus is in our division, right? Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. I take back that's stupid.
But, of course, who would we be meeting if we were to get past Columbus if they started right now today? Pittsburgh or Philadelphia.
Yay!
So that's...
Well, you gotta get out of your division. That's the thing. You have to get out of your freaking division.
So that's different. But, anyway, so Caps Columbus, if it were... I mean, again, things can change. We will see what happens later on down the road. But... Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Down on the Farm. But before we go there, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey continued their struggling season, going 1-2 with a win over Syracuse. The Bears are currently 8th in the Atlantic Division. That's out of 8 teams, with 59 points and a record of 25-29-9. 14 points out of the final playoff spot. It doesn't sound like there's going to be any Calder Cup playoff hockey going on in Hershey. Now, the Bears will try and make something out of their season with 3 games over the weekend, starting on Friday at the Giant Center against Bridgeport, Saturday also at home against Springfield, and Sunday on the road in Wilkes-Barre. Scranton.
How many years has it been since the Bears have not made the Calder Cup playoffs? I mean, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
It's been a while. Yeah, I feel like it's been a while.
Yeesh.
Brandon, when was the last time I saw them win a game in person? Oh, wait, it's been never. 0-5. Ridiculous. And then the Bears have some interesting jerseys they're going to be wearing over the weekend with their St. Patrick's Day ones. I know you like them, but you're crazy.
I like all things. So I want one of these. I love St. Patty's Day. I love green beer. I love the Irish. I love Irish punk rock music. So I would definitely wear one of these. But I don't have $600 minimum to spend on them. But they're cool looking nonetheless.
Nope.
What player has the most Irish name on the Hershey Bears? Is there like an
Liam O'Brien?
O'Brien, that's right. Of course. That's the jersey I would want. I would want Liam O'Brien's.
It would have to be. Not even close. I have to imagine his is going to go for a nice chunk of change.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at him. There's not much more Irish than Liam O'Brien.
No, he's pretty freaking Irish, I would imagine. Gotta tell you, it's probably gonna be him. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1 with wins over Atlanta and Jacksonville. They are currently 2nd in the South Division with 85 points and a record of 39-13-7. They actually have the 2nd best winning percentage in the entirety of the ECHL, 2nd only to Florida.
Wow.
Now, they don't have second. I think they're like 5th in points, but they've played like 3 less games than 3 of the other teams. So, yeah, I don't know. That's weird. But that's ECHL for you. Now, the Stingrays are going to push for 1st in division and league with back-to-back games starting on Thursday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Idaho. Then they go and play on Monday in Atlanta.
Do they play Idaho very often? I don't remember us ever bringing up Idaho. Uh-oh.
I can't remember.
I mean,
we don't talk about it very often because there's not much there.
They play a lot with Atlanta and,
well, they're like right down the street.
Right. Yeah. But Idaho, I don't remember ever bringing up Idaho on this show. That's crazy.
Now you got me like second guessing myself that I wrote the right thing down. We'll come back to that in a moment if I'm wrong, but I don't think. Idaho Steelheads. That's a stupid name. But yeah, they play them. Another Stingrays news, forward Stephen Whitney was named the ECHL Player of the Week for March 5th through the 9th, so congratulations to him. Whitney scored 2 goals and got 7 assists in 4 games last week, which is a ridiculous number of points in 4 games. But yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
Well, plenty of stuff going on with the Bears and Stingrays. Man, Bears, what happened, guys? Yeesh.
And it's just one of those seasons.
I guess so. I mean, ouch. But, hey.
Is the problem we took away?
We gave you Madison Bowie back, so you guys got to be better now, right?
We took Bowie, we took Vrana, we took Stevenson. It's a couple of good players. They lost Bork. Well, they were already struggling when they lost Bork for the Olympics, but, you know. What are you going to do?
All right. Well, anyway, go Bears, go Stingrays, beat Idaho, please. Now let's go around.
I hate Idaho.
Now let's go around the NHL. Alright, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff going on. Coach Dan, has anyone been suspended in the NHL?
Brandon! Yeah. No one got suspended or fined this week.
Oh, alright. Good work.
Yay!
Good going, guys.
What a good job. You did it twice, I think, this season. Aches and spin. Everyone's been able to behave themselves. That's just embarrassingly.
Proud of you guys. Hey, I'm proud of you.
And we're done with that bit. One other piece of news, as Vegas goalie Marc-Andre Fleury got his 400th NHL win. So congratulations to him. I mean, that's insane, considering you played maybe 70 games this season, something around there, to get 400 of those freaking things. Given he was on a good Penguins team. So, you know, still, congrats to him. That is definitely an impressive thing. But that's the news for the past week in the NHL.
Now, I'm interested to see what happens to the Penguins in the postseason because Marc-Andre Fleury is gone.
They're just going to go and win the whole freaking thing, and we're all going to be miserable. And
but no, honestly, think about it. One of the biggest reasons why they did so well, I mean, yes, the third line, the HBK line, was a big deal 2 years ago, but they had Marc-Andre Fleury last year, and they had Matt Murray. Matt Murray has not played a game since February because he has a concussion.
Yeah, he's been hurt. I think I saw he's coming back soon.
He is coming back soon, but he's got to work off a little bit of the rust that he got from being off that.
Oh,
that
don't line. Worry. He'll be fine time to piss us off in the playoffs.
I'm sure. But I'm very intrigued to see what happens without the veteran goaltender and with Matt Murray, who last year got hurt right before the playoffs. He's hurt this year. I mean, I'm intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued to see what this team does. But let's hope they're not good. But anyway.
That'd be great.
Yeah. All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff as well as other parts of the NHL. You also might find me on there talking about Arsenal Football Club, as well as other European football teams. Occasionally some American football. Not really proud to be a Redskins fan right now because they're god-awful and their front office is run by a bunch of idiots. I may have to switch my allegiances, Brandon. I think I might have to do it.
I'll get you a purple jersey.
I'm not going to the freaking Ravens.
Come on.
No.
Well, right now I really don't blame you because we pretty much fired the majority of the team, so.
Well, you got Ryan Grant from us, so enjoy being.
And we paid that guy big money, and he was like a third, fourth line stringer for you guys.
Yeah, he's Jay Gruden loves him, and I cannot for the life of me figure. I mean, I watched pretty much zero Skins games this past season, but he Jay Gruden loves him, and I have no idea why. I might have switched my allegiance to the Bills. At least when they suck it, at least they're trying.
They got rid of Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor's now with Cleveland.
Yeah, they're going to go and draft a quarterback, I would imagine.
Ugh.
I heard they got Trent Murphy who played for this game. I like Trent Murphy. That was a bit disappointing to hear today. But either way, somehow that was me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. And hey, if you like the show, why don't you go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. You can find all kinds of fun stuff, not only about the show, but about the Washington Capitals and fun stuff that they're doing. Some of it's silly from time to time. And if it's silly, it's probably Brandon that's doing it. Let's be honest.
Yep.
He's not even going to deny it. Straight up the case.
Yep.
If something on Facebook is silly, it's Brandon doing it. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
So go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment, What the Puck, and all the other podcasts we do here. We do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us a review on Apple Podcasts, and then use social media and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr, Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero, if you're still on there. Whatever.
Vero.
Vero. I'm still on it, but it's just me like shouting into a cave because there's no one else there. But that's Vero for you, I guess. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. It's probably going away pretty soon. But anyway, let people know I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. That's pretty much it for the show this week. Until we talk again, let's go over the games for the next week. If my browser will open, that would be wonderful. All right, here we go. On Thursday, March 15th, the Capitals are up in Brooklyn, up against the Islanders. That game is at 7 o'clock, and the browser doesn't want to let me see what networks it's on. I'm assuming it's on NBC Sports Washington locally here.
Yes.
There we go. And, just there. So, sorry, national people. Won't be on the NHL Network. But on Friday, March 16th, the Capitals are in D.C., up against the Islanders. That game is on NBC Sports Washington or the NHL Network nationally. And then on Sunday, March 18th, the Capitals drive up to Philly, get a cheesesteak, and they're up against the Philadelphia Flyers. That game is at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and you can see that on NBC Sports Washington locally here, NBC Sports nationally, and the NHL Network. So we got a trifold of networks covering that game on Sunday. And then on Tuesday, March 20th, the Caps come back to DC and they're up against the Dallas Stars. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch it on NBC Sports Washington. Going out on a limb here, probably going to be a loss against Dallas, just saying. and then we'll be back doing the show again
later.
the show is going to be a day later, because we're going to be recording on the 22nd. So we may be recording before the Detroit game. We may be recording after the Detroit game. But anyway, on the 22nd, the Caps travel to Detroit up against the Red Wings. That game's at 7:30, and you can watch it on NBC Sports. That's a national game, NBC Sports. So everyone gets to see that game. Yay! And it's a day after Wednesday night rivalry night, so I guess we don't have a rivalry against Detroit that I didn't know about. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
Idaho, their logo is a fish.
No.
Yeah. The Steelheads, it's a fish.
Even have water in Idaho? No, I'm just kidding. Huh, yeah, it's a fish. That's interesting.
That's really random. All right. I'm learning so much about Idaho right now.